Now, I didn't forewarn you that part of this morning's message is going to rely on you. So, there's a picture up there on the screen, picture of Jesus. So I'd like to see a show of hands as to how many people have seen or experienced pictures of Jesus looking just like that. There's probably pictures of Jesus looking somewhat similar to that in Sunday school material. I think every church had a framed picture of Jesus at one point where he would look a lot like that. Our stained glass windows that might indicate pictures of Jesus, he does somewhat resemble the image that is up there on the screen. Interestingly, there are no descriptions of Jesus in our scripture. And yet, there was this morning, if you remember, of John the Baptist. So, do you remember how John the Baptist was described? Mm-hmm. How was he described?
I heard that he ate locusts.
Wild looking, yes. And, you know, he ate locusts and honey. He was kind of a wild looking person. But it was his clothing more than his physical resemblance that was being described. It was important, I guess, to paint a picture of John being a somewhat notable and eccentric, perhaps, individual. But there are not pictures or descriptions of Jesus in Scripture. And so in our artwork, often what we see is a reflection of ourselves. We see a Jesus that looks like us. And in artwork that comes from other traditions, you might see Jesus depicted as someone that looks like them. No one knows what Jesus looked like. But based on historical and archaeological evidence, he likely had features typical of a first century Jewish man from the Middle East. Olive or brown skin, dark eyes, and dark hair. He was probably about 5'5" tall, had a short dark beard, and short curly hair. Now, that doesn't look like this individual here. And being a fan of detective stories or police stories, I'm not sure that if we had this description, we would find this individual. It wouldn't match, would it? Now, no one knows exactly what Jesus looked like. No one. But none is better than the word picture painted for us by Isaiah. Now, remember that this was written 7 centuries before Jesus came, and yet it perfectly describes him, but it doesn't describe his physical being. So the first characteristic would be is that Jesus will have a great mind. Everyone acknowledges the wisdom of Jesus. Agnostics acknowledge the wisdom of Jesus. Atheists acknowledge the wisdom of Jesus. He showed a comprehensive knowledge of God. He showed a thorough understanding of man, of mankind. His sermons were deep. His parables were practical and pointed. The second characteristic is that he will show a great sense of justice. Injustice was common in Isaiah's time, and it was common in Jesus' time. And I think it's common in our time. Injustice is still very much common today. It was the poor, especially, who were ill-used in those days. And as there is poor treatment of the disadvantaged today, there's a need for a just judge, an impartial judge, and there will always be such a need. Now, in human terms, we always think about that there will always be a need for punishment for the wicked. No thinking person can just dismiss the awful deeds of the merciless as if they were insignificant. Can you imagine a heaven to which everyone is admitted? Can you imagine a heaven that includes people who have done great evil in this life? About 20 years ago, maybe a little more, but we won't go into that. As a lay person, I was leading a Bible study that had three retired ordained ministers in it. Now, I'm not sure why I had the responsibility of leadership, but that was kind of how it went. Every once in a while, one of them would say something that was so simple and yet so deep and just astounding. And I remember one of our studies where we were talking about, you know, justice and how justice would be delivered. And one of the retired ministers said that he believed that everyone would go to heaven. That even Hitler, at his point of death, when faced with the enormous love of God, would be a believer and would make a confession. And he believed that everyone would go to heaven. Just that was how expansive God's love was. Well, you can imagine, perhaps, the horror that created within our study group. And yet, it was really a very deep point to consider. Because we judge as people do. And if man's inhumanity to man is never, ever punished, then we think, well, justice does not exist in this world, because that is how we handle injustices. It's only a figment of someone's idealistic imagination. So here, equity for those who have been ill-treated or ill-used needs to be balanced by retribution for those who have mistreated them. But we forget that God is the person who the ultimate justice or the ultimate verdict will be God's responsibility. And Jesus was open to forgiving people of their sins. The third characteristic is that he will usher in a great peace. And what a lovely picture here. We had that lovely description in Isaiah about natural enemies, the wolf and the lamb, leopard and kid, calf and lion, will live together in peace. And it must have been this way in the Garden of Eden, because that was, that everyone was living in peace there. While we tend to not take this picture literally, because I think if we think about the characteristics of some of these creatures that are described, it would seem difficult to imagine a world where that would actually happen. But it is that idea of how there will be complete peace and harmony. History notes a period of relative calm in the Western world and calls it Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. But it was an enforced peace, and it wasn't a lasting peace. The peace of Jesus will be real and eternal. Now, we don't see this peace today in world situations. Again, I will refer you to our daily news, but we will see it someday, and that is what we hope for. We hope for that kind of peace. And meanwhile, we have a foretaste of that in our hearts. And in the Bible, it is called the peace of God that exceeds all understanding. So the fourth characteristic is this. Jesus will bring a great vision. So the first readers of this idea were startled by it. They never thought of the Gentiles as a matter of concern to God, because Gentiles were of little concern to them. But here in the midst of one of their greatest books, remember this is Isaiah, is the promise that the Gentiles will come to acknowledge the God of Israel. And it was another way of saying that all nations should hear about God. The Lord Jesus made crystal clear what should have been understood from this ancient text. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everyone should have the opportunity to believe in the Christ and to love and serve him. We wonder sometimes how the Jews or the people around Jesus missed that. But then we wonder how we too sometimes miss it. Our circle of concern should be as large as God's. And I know that's more difficult than it ever was, because now we know so much of the news of the world. We know what's going on around us. Not just in our own community, but we know what's going on around the globe. But difficult or not, our concerns should mirror Jesus. We should seek the kingdom of God realized here, now, while we wait for the kingdom of God yet to come. Before I conclude, I'm going to give you some homework. And that is, I would like you to investigate some of the images, the different images that there are of Jesus in artwork, and how different artists have portrayed Jesus, and perhaps the reason why they did. And maybe we can come back together with a collection of some ideas, some pictures that we might reflect on, what it is that they are saying to us, what do they speak about, and what characteristics, perhaps, of Jesus are they attempting to illustrate. We must seek the kingdom of God realized while we wait for the kingdom of God yet to come. And there is our hope for peace. So may we go and make that so. Thanks be to God. Amen.